the better you are at communication, the more influence you have in a conversation, the more you're willing to adjust your style to put the other person at ease and pay attention to the things that are important to them, the words that they choose, their body language, their facial expressions, their hand gestures. All these things play a factor. But if nothing else, like, the bare minimum is to just learn how to listen properly.
Hey, midlifers, welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostess. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone. Until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Hello, beautiful souls. Today, I want to share a secret that's been a game changer in my skincare routine, Bamboo Earth, the most natural skincare on earth. In our journey through midlife, it's essential to nurture our skin with products that are kind, natural, and effective. Bamboo Earth offers just that. Their products are crafted with the finest natural ingredients, ensuring your skin gets the love and care it deserves. Since incorporating Bamboo Earth into my daily routine, my skin feels revitalized and glowing. It's not just skincare. It's a ritual that reminds me to pause, breathe, and appreciate the beauty of this moment. Join me embracing the power of nature with Bamboo Earth. Let's celebrate our midlife journey with radiant, healthy skin. Because when we feel good on the outside, it reflects the joy and confidence we hold within. Discover the magic of Bamboo Earth for yourself and experience a midlife makeover that starts with your skin. Visit skin.wendyvalentine.com and receive 30% off your first order. Here's to glowing skin and new beginnings. Hello, and welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show, the place where we redefine what midlife looks like and feels like. One story, one challenge, and one incredible transformation at a time. I'm your host, Wendy Valentine. In today's episode, we're diving into a topic that touches every aspect of our lives, though we might not always realize it. That's right. We're talking about sales. Dun, dun, dun. I love sales. Whether you're pitching your latest personal business idea, convincing your team at work to embrace a new project, or more importantly, persuading your partner that now is the perfect time for your dream vacation, sales is everywhere. To help us navigate through the art of selling with authenticity and success, I'm thrilled to introduce a very special guest. She's the CEO of Sales Maven. I love that name. She is an acclaimed author and a veteran sales coach with over 25 years of experience in the field. Entrepreneurs and small business owners trust her to transform their selling strategies into winning formulas that feel genuine and effective. She's authored 3 insightful books on selling, all available on Amazon, and hosts the popular Sales Maven podcast. Please welcome the brilliant, let me see if I can say this right, Nikki Rausch. Did I do it?
You did it. You nailed it. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
So great to have you here. Oh my gosh. And we had such a great chat before we hit record.
We did.
I think what I need to start doing is just like hit record right when we come on. Just like boom.
Be
like,
there's a lot of good stuff there.
I'd be like, we already started the show. You had no idea. But we're having such a great conversation. We're still going to have a great conversation.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I was telling you that when this one came across about sales, I was like, sales, is that fitting for the show? And I was like, yes, sales is fitting for every show, in my opinion, because sales is life. Like sales is It is your way that you connect in relationship.
Mm-hmm. It's all about having influence in sales. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about, do you want to have influence in conversations? Do you want to have influence in relationships? And most of us would say, yes, of course. Of course I want to have influence. Not in a manipulative, gross way, because I do say, for me and what I teach, sales isn't something you do to another person. It's something you do with. And anytime mm-hmm. you're having a with conversation, that means both parties are engaged, both parties are participating. And there are times where you have a goal in mind or you have an outcome in mind. And when you apply some selling strategy to it, it helps kind of move in that direction and get you to the place where your idea gets heard or that next mm-hmm. vacation you want to take gets taken, right? There's all, selling is really something that we do all day long, every day. It's just some of us have been trained in it and some of us are better at it than others, but we all use it. We all need it.
Yeah, I know. You know, just thinking that we think of selling as mainly speaking, mm-hmm. but it's actually more so listening mm-hmm. and really connecting.
Yeah. It's asking questions. I teach this a lot, but if you, instead of making statements all the time, will learn how to turn some of your statements into questions, that mm-hmm. alone will increase your influence in a conversation because people like to answer questions. Our brains are wired to answer yeah. questions. And yeah. now we can actually engage in a real conversation versus right now, and unfortunately in our society, is most of the time people are talking at us. And we're mm-hmm. so sick of being talked at. We want to be talked with. We want to be in conversation. We want to feel like my voice matters too. And one of the ways to send that message with anybody you're in conversation with is to ask questions instead of just make statements all the time.
Right. Well, if you think about it, when you're asking questions, it's telling the other person, I care about you. Mm-hmm. I care about your thoughts and your opinions and mm-hmm. your feelings. And very rarely do we think about that. Like, okay, let me just ask this. Even it can be a really basic question
yeah.
that you ask, and they will end up, the other person will dig up those answers. And sometimes they themselves are surprised at the answers that come up.
Yeah, because very few of us get asked questions anymore. We get mm-hmm. told things, right? We get hit and bombarded with things. So when somebody asks you a question that you've never been asked before or asks for your opinion about something, it gives you an opportunity to go, how do I think about this? Or how do I feel about mm-hmm. this? Or what is my take on XYZ? And maybe you go, I don't have a take. And then what you usually do is you say, what's your take? And you follow up with the other person. Like a lot of times we're teaching people how to be in conversation with us. So when you ask questions, you mm-hmm. encourage the other person to also ask questions of you. And now you have an opportunity to answer those questions and talk about things that are potentially interesting to you and hopefully to them as well. Otherwise, they won't ask you follow-up questions. They'll change.
Exactly. I had shared with you earlier that, so right before I started the show, I took a temporary job in Chicago selling houses, new construction, which I had never done before. And I mean, I'll admit, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can sell. I've never done this before. I don't even know anything about houses. I was like, oh, what am I doing? You know, I was like, okay, I can do this. But I tell you, I learned more about myself and how I speak to others, how I listen to others, how I connect with others, how they speak to me, how they listen to me and how they connect with me. And I was so fascinated by it, by the exchange of the energy and how you can even change it. It like became so like a little experiment. Every time a customer would walk in the door, I'm like, ooh, okay, let me see what I can do with this one. Even if they were like in a really bad mood, or they weren't like, maybe they weren't in a mood to actually, like, usually it's the husband's like, I don't want to look at houses today, you know, but how you can shift that energy. And, yeah. and that's really a lot of what sales is, in my opinion, is you're shifting that energy. You're providing a good, comfortable space for them to explore buying whatever it is that you're selling, even yeah. if it's the idea of going to Hawaii, you know, next year or something like
right.
that.
Right.
Yep.
One of my all-time favorite quotes is, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape." And I think the better you are at sales, the more flexibility you show in the way you show up in conversations. So instead of always like driving your agenda and like forcing, trying to, you know, the other thing, the misconception is people think sales is about convincing people. Like, yeah, I'm going to convince you. But if you think about it, most of us are super annoyed when somebody wants to convince us of something. We're like, at this point, I'm drawing a line in the sand and there's nothing you could say or do that I would ever, I'll die on the other side of this line before I'll cross it, right? Like, we don't want to be convinced. We don't want things shoved down our throat. So when you can be flexible in a conversation, when you can be flexible in a situation, it actually increases your influence. So instead of trying to say to the husband, like, you should be looking at houses, is this what your wife wants? Well, that's going to polarize that person. And now he's going to be like, not only am I not enjoying this time with my wife, but I really don't like you. You're never going to get my business, right? But if you're willing to adjust and be like, yeah, dang, there's probably other things you could be doing today. They might be like, yeah, you're right. But I'll, you know, I care about my wife, so I'll look at the house, right? Like, it, people start to, the more flexible you are, the more flexible they will be in return.
Well, if you think about it too, there was probably in that example, there was probably a sale that had to occur just to get her husband, she had to sell to her husband, can we please go look at houses today? Right.
Yeah. There is something that's about every single person you come into contact with has what's known as a convincer strategy. So now this is different than trying to convince somebody, but we do all have our own convincer strategies. And our convincer strategy is context specific. So in some areas of your life, you might be like, you hear about something one time and you're like, I'm so in, like, sign me up, right? And then other times you might be like, the first time you hear about something, you think that's stupid. And then you hear about it again and you go, still not a fan. And then you hear about it again. And then you hear about it again. And like, we don't know what your convincer strategy but maybe it's 7 or maybe it's 10 or maybe it's a year, or like whatever it is. But at some point, something that you initially thought like, that's dumb, pretty soon you're like, I can see how people would benefit from that. And then pretty soon you're like, how would I benefit from that? So we don't know what people's convincer strategies are. Although I do recommend, if you're in a committed relationship, starting to understand what your partner's convincer strategy is when it comes to making decisions about the, your livelihood, your couple, your, like, your experiences, the things you're going to do, because it will change the way you interact and engage with them. So instead of saying to somebody like, you're just rigid and you don't ever change your mind, that's not going to help your case. But if you recognize, like, I actually know this because I've been with my partner now for my husband, but, you know, we've been together as a couple for almost 20 years. And I know his convincer strategy for big decisions in our house is a year. So I don't get mad at him for 3 months in not being like on my side about something. I go, okay, I've got some work to do. I need to make some adjustments. I need to be flexible. And at some point he comes back to me and he's like, you know, it would be a good idea. I'm like, what? That thing you've been talking about for a year. Great. Let's do it. Let's move. Let's do it.
Well, you know what too? I was thinking, especially at midlife, there's a lot of women, especially like the birdies have left the nest and they're going to venture out and do something new, a new career, or maybe start the dream business, right? Yeah. So kind of like the example before, there could be some sales going on within your own personal life of, okay, is everyone on board with what I'm going to be doing? And do I have their support? And then you're venturing out to whatever, go, you know, pitch that dream business or to start that career. So sales, again, really does like filter through everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, in business, they say, if you're not making sales, you have a hobby. Like, if you don't make money in your business, you have a hobby. And it's an expensive hobby, right? That most of us can't afford. So sales is such a crucial component. If you have that dream business, or you have that thing that you've wanted to pursue and that you still need to, you know, bring income in, or you still need to, you know, participate in the family, or however that works in your home life. So selling is crucial. I'm going to say frustration for me, but also the disappointment is that I think there's this misconception that you're just supposed to know how to sell, oh, you have a good idea, you have a business idea, like you better be able to sell it. It's like, well, that's unrealistic. Like, we don't look at somebody who's never played the piano and say, you need to sit there and you need to like play Mozart on that thing. Otherwise, you could never play the piano. It's like, no, it's a skill, like anything. You have to learn it. And sometimes you start with, you know, chopsticks or whatever they call it. I actually don't know how to play the piano, but I wish I did. And I also know that there's a learning curve, right? There's a time to learn. So whatever the thing is that you want to accomplish, whether it's a new business or whatever, don't beat yourself up if selling doesn't feel natural or easy. It is a learned skill.
Mm-hmm. I also think too, selling is connected to your money mindset, right? I mean, sales, most likely we're selling something, a product or service that's going to make money. So your money mindset really does matter, right? Because you have to be like, I am worthy of making this sell. And I to not be feel like you're being selfish to ask for a sale.
Yeah.
And women especially feel like, you know, we're us people pleasers and gotta do everything for everybody else. And my God forbid if I ask for something for myself.
Yeah, that's such a powerful thing. You're right. Mindset is so important. And here's kind of a way to maybe switch this around a little bit, is for you to think about, sorry, I'm getting some weird message and I'm worried it's going to knock me out of Zoom. All of a sudden this crazy thing popped up on my computer.
Totally okay.
Yeah. So sorry.
That's okay.
But the idea that, that there's something wrong with taking money for something that oftentimes the thing that you're really, really good at comes really easy to you. And so as women, we think, well, I should just give it away. But what we forget is that we're actually robbing the other person of having a legitimate experience, because it isn't always about like, oh, I'm getting money for this. And as a matter of fact, I think that's the wrong approach. Mm-hmm. I think the approach is I'm giving people the opportunity to invest in themselves.
Correct.
Because yes, there's something they're getting from you. And of course you're going to deliver on whatever it is they paid you money for. But, you know, I don't expect my clients to walk around 5 years later and be like, oh, I paid Nikki X number of dollars and now I made X number of dollars. I actually want them to say, you know, I invested in myself. I learned a skill. And because I learned the skill, it allowed for me to make $5 million over the last, you know, year or 2 years or whatever. I don't want it to be about, oh, Nikki. I want it to be about them and the investment they made in themselves. Right. But the thing is they have to pay for it. Because otherwise, if you give it to them for free, which then, there's no value, and they won't implement. And because they don't implement, they don't get any results. So 5 years from now, they're not looking back going like, look at all I've done. They're looking back going like, nothing's changed. I'm in the same spot.
Right. I mean, you're basically a catalyst for others, for their dreams and their wishes and the things that they want in life. And sometimes again, like they may not even realize exactly what it is that they want until you, like you said earlier, asking those questions, they dig and go, oh, I do need this.
Sometimes they've never even thought about like what's possible for them or what would happen if they could have XYZ. And then they're like, I never even thought about being able to do that. I don't know. I mean, I think I have examples in my life where somebody brought it to my attention. As a matter of fact, this business, like I've had my business now for 10 and a half years. I was in a car. I was giving somebody a ride. We were commuting together. And when we stopped, like when I stopped to like where her car was and she was going to get out, she finally turned to me and she said, Nikki, why aren't you teaching women how to sell? Like these skills that you teach, they work. And I said, that's dumb. Like who would pay me to learn how to sell? And she's like, people will pay you, Nikki. Like the stuff that you teach, it works and it's easy. And if she hadn't had that like conversation with me, I wouldn't be here today. And I will say I have the most fulfilling, rewarding work that I like, and I can't, you know, I have this extensive background and huge amounts of success in my corporate career. Nothing compares to the satisfaction of what I do now. And it's because somebody like asked me like, what would it be? Imagine like if you did have a business, if you did teach people this, and I was like, I don't even know that that's possible because I hadn't thought about it for myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will have career transitions during mm-hmm. this transitional phase in life, right?
Yeah.
Which means that they're going to have interviews. And so they may not be selling a product or a service, but they're selling themselves.
That's right.
And really, if you think about it, we're always selling ourselves throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there key elements to being good at sales?
It's being a good listener.
Yeah.
Asking the right questions.
Hmm.
Being willing to, with permission from somebody, put an offer in front of them and issue an invitation to work with you. Those are kind of key elements. Now, I teach a 5-step process for selling. It's called the Selling Staircase. I actually wrote my third book around it, and I break down each of these steps. But the real idea here, to be good at sales, you have to be a good listener. You have to know how to ask questions. You have to be willing to put an opportunity or an offer in front of somebody. And then you have to ask them to make a decision one way or the other. And
it's all really basic, right? You know what I mean? It's very simple. It's not rocket science.
It's not rocket science. It's learned. And you shouldn't expect yourself to know how to do it. It is learned. And it's learned usually through trial and error or because you've invested in yourself and you've went out and learned these skills. But it is about, you know, I always say it's like muscle memory. Like just like when you want to build a muscle, you got to work the muscle. Like it doesn't, you can't just go like, today I'm going to have huge, you know, whatever muscles. Like, no, you got to work those if that's what really important to you. So with sales, it's just about working that muscle a little bit and training and honing your skill and getting better and better at having the conversation, asking questions in a really kind way, putting an offer in front of somebody, and then having close language. And close language is something as simple as, is this something you'd be open to doing? Is this something you'd like to move forward with? Is this something you'd like to order? You know, is this a vacation we should go ahead and book? Right? It's just like asking the question, but you got
to
close.
It's so interesting because we were taught not to ask close-ended questions, right? We're taught not to ask the yes, no, or maybe questions. And sometimes those are the ones where you're just like, boom, boom, boom. Because actually, if you think about it, if someone were to ask me, then you do have to be like, where am I at? Am I over here? Am I over here? Like, it's yes or no.
Yeah. So open-ended questions are fantastic in the consultation and in the discovery. But in the close, it is a closed question. And the reason for it is it's because you're helping somebody make a decision. Now, there's some stats out there. So I don't know if you know these, Wendy, but they say the average adult makes a certain number of decisions every single day. Do you know this?
No, but go ahead and say it.
Okay. So think of just for you, like your day, you're busy. And I know you've been doing a lot today because you shared with us or with me before the hit record. Like how many decisions do you think you make on average in a day? Come up with a number.
1,000?
Yeah. So they say the average adult makes between 30 and 60,000 decisions every single day.
So God, I made good decisions.
I know. Now, the thing is that our brains are tired and they're a little lazy and we kind of want to do the bare minimum because we know we have so many things coming at us all the time. We're being bombarded with stuff all the time. So if that's the case, your job is to make it easy for somebody to make that decision. And sometimes that decision comes in the form of a yes or no question. Now, based on their answer, there's things you can do, right? So if you never ask for the sale, if you never ask for the close, whatever that is, you don't know if they're going to say, yes, no, I have a question, I have an objection, but we got to get there at some point. And in the conversation, if you're not closing, which again, I teach this 5-step process for closing. Closing is the second most messed up of anything to do with sales. Most people, they'll like present their partner with a vacation idea, or they'll present something to somebody that they think would benefit from whatever they're offering, but they don't actually close. And because they don't close, the person never makes a decision. Where am I at? Like you said, am I in? Am I out? Do I have another question?
Mm-hmm. And I think why that is, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that they are thinking that the other party is going to volunteer and go, oh, okay, I will take whatever you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it or I'll go for it. They're almost waiting for you to ask them, well, you want to take this? Right? Like,
yeah.
I'll take it.
Do you ask yourself questions like, who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I living a life I don't love? Answers to these questions and more are revealed in the new Freedom at Midlife group coaching program, where I offer you a guaranteed roadmap to your own midlife makeover. In this powerful 7-week program, you will learn the 7 steps to freedom method to help you discover who you want to become, what life you want to live, and most importantly, how to get there. Instead of being lost in life, miserable in menopause, or struggling to juggle it all, you could reignite your love life, retire that dreadful job, and reinvent yourself. So, if you're ready to begin your midlife journey of transformation, filled with accountability, guidance, and support, then the time is now. Your midlife needs you to make a move. The Freedom at Midlife program is opening for enrollment soon, with limited spots available. To be the first to know when we are open for enrollment, please join the waitlist now at freedomatmidlife.com, and you will soon discover that next courageous step in creating your epic second half of life.
I had somebody one time before she actually became a client. We were both speakers at an event, and I was talking about this idea of issuing invitations, recognizing buying signals, and she came up to me, like, pulled me aside at the end of an event one time. She said, "So, Nikki, I heard your presentation. Like, I get what you're doing, but I just want you to know that I sell to adults." So my brain is instantly like, why is she saying this? Like, what's going on? She sells to, who doesn't sell to adults? Who sells to kids? Like, like my brain is just like running. And I said, okay, so you sell to adults. What prompted that? And she's like, well, if adults want to hire me, they'll let me know. And I said, oh yeah, they actually,
no.
They let you know, you have to invite them. You have to issue that close language. And when you do, then you'll find more people will actually sign up and work with you. It's not that people don't want to work with you. It's not that people won't benefit from what you offer. But when you invite them, you allow their brain to make a decision, because our brains are like Google. If you go to Google right now, you type in anything, it's trying to give you an answer. And unless you ask the question, their brain won't give them the answer. So you have to actually ask them the question. Now, she became a client. And after our first session, she called me and she's like, I went to a networking event today. I invited people to work with me. I booked 3 new clients. I've never done that at an event before. I'm like, yeah, because you asked. That's it.
I love that you say invite, because when we think about, like, if we get an invitation in the mail in the old days, we just get an invitation in the mail or via email, whatever.
Yeah.
It's always like a nice thing, no matter what it is. It's just kind of a warm, like, oh, I got an invitation to something. Mm-hmm. But then it's also this kind of like empowering thing of, oh, well, I'm the one that gets to decide whether or not I say yes or I say no, or maybe I'm on the fence. Right.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too, there's nothing wrong with asking more than once. I feel like when you're in sales, we all are, that will ask the one time. And if they say no, like, shit, like with you, like you were saying with your husband, it might take him a while to go, okay, I'm buying into this thing that she's selling me. You know,
that's right.
Like, what? But in some people, in respect of other people, of however they buy into something, some people are quick to, yep, I'll take it. And some people are like, let me think about that a little bit.
Right.
Let me see if that'll fit in. And maybe it does not fit in at that time in their life, that product, that service, whatever, but maybe it will fit in later in their life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a friend say to me one time, she was asking me for advice. She was interviewing for a sales position. She didn't really have a sales background. And so she was like wanting to know, what are the questions that I should be prepared to answer? And what questions should I ask? Yeah. And as I was giving her some feedback, I was actually driving. We were talking on the phone and with a headset for anybody who's like, you shouldn't drive and talk on the phone. Okay. So driving down the road, and she said, well, Nikki, you know what makes you really good at sales? Now, I love a compliment. So I was like, what? Tell me what makes me good. I love a compliment. And she goes, you're so good at rejection. And I literally swerved. I was like, what? Like, what do you mean I'm good at rejection? She's like, well, you know, people are rejecting you all the time and you just take it in stride. I was like, what? Who's rejecting me? What are you talking about? And she goes, oh, you know, when people say no, when they don't want to work with you. And I was like, oh, you think a no is rejection? No, no, no. No is just information. And sometimes a no is just a not yet. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. I don't take it as rejection. Just like if I go out to eat and the, you know, waiter comes by at the end of the meal and says, can I show you the dessert menu? And I decide, you know what? I can't possibly. I'm so full. It was so satisfying. Thank you. Maybe next time. They don't go back into the, you know, kitchen and go, can you believe that broad out there? I offered her dessert and she rejected me.
Ari's calling his therapist. I just got rejected. You didn't take my dessert menu. Yeah.
That's right. But if they don't come by and offer me the dessert menu and they just drop the check on my, I'm a little bit like, what? They're not even going to offer me dessert? Yeah, like, what?
Interesting.
We like to be offered. We like to be invited. We like to have the option of saying yes or no to things. So yes, you like it, but please give it to the person that you want to have more influence with or the person that you want to offer the opportunity to do something with you. Give them the invitation, give them the offer and be respectful. They're, you're selling to an adult, you know, like my friend, you're selling to an adult, treat them as an adult, give them the respect, let them decide for themselves.
Don't take it personal, right? Like it personal. It's not. Yeah. I think one of the things that really clicked for me in my sales job there in Chicago was trading out the word selling for serving. Mm. I was like, I am serving them. I am actually like, and this is not about me. Who it's am not. I to say what they need in their life, right? Like whether it was homes or if you're selling pencils, it doesn't matter. Or if you're selling an experience, it's up to the other party of what it is they feel that they need.
That's right.
And you're just there to deliver. You're the messenger.
Yeah.
I mean, just to let you know all about it. These granite countertop level 4. No, I'm just kidding. Do you want them? Yes or no? Like,
that's it. Like, totally, should we get granite ordered? Like, should we put that on part of your package or whatever it is? Right. Let them decide for themselves. When you decide for somebody, I'm not going to offer this to them because I don't think they'll pay for it or I don't think they'll want it. They walk away feeling unsatisfied with their interaction with you. And they might not even be able to articulate why they feel unsatisfied. Now, I teach about buying signals and how to recognize them. And when people give other people buying signals and then that person doesn't issue that invitation or make it easy for them to take the next step, they reach out to me and they're like, Nikki, I gave so-and-so a buying signal. Like, she didn't even ask me for my business. She obviously thinks I can't afford it. And I'm like, I don't think it's that she thinks you can't afford it. I think she made that decision about she felt uncomfortable, you know, putting you in a position to make a decision. But like, we all want to be treated like adults and with respect. And we want to be able to make our own decisions. So put the decision in front of somebody. That's really all it is.
Do you find that there's a common limiting belief with people? I know we touched on this a little bit when they don't ask for that sale. Is there something deep down about themselves, what they believe about themselves as to why they won't ask?
A lot of times it's because they think I would never buy this. But the thing is what you're selling, you already know. Like you already have that expertise. So of course you wouldn't buy it necessarily. Mm-hmm. And so you think, well, I wouldn't go and hire a sales coach. Well, maybe I might, but typically I wouldn't go hire a sales coach because I know sales and sales for me feels easy, right? Mm-hmm. I would go hire a business coach or I'd go hire a coach who can help me, you know, learn something I don't know yet.
Right.
So of course I wouldn't pay like for my own skill set, because I already know it. So sometimes it's because what they're selling, they already know, and we don't value the things we already know. Like I have this with like my husband and I are watching a series on TV. And if I can anticipate what the next line is multiple times, I'm not interested in watching that show because I feel like I could
work.
Right. Like the writers didn't make it interesting for me. I want people to write stuff that I'm like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Like, oh, wow, that was a shocker. Or like,
it's more engaging that way. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you have a limiting belief that the stuff that you know is so easy that it has no value, oftentimes we project it onto the person we're in conversation with. Like, why would somebody pay me for something that that was so easy. Just like how when my friend was like, Nikki, like, why aren't you teaching this to people? And I was like, I feel like that's dumb. I don't think they'll pay me for it. I had to, you know, I had to switch my mind.
Yeah.
So if you're worried that people won't pay you for the stuff that feels to you almost as easy as breathing, right? Like most of us are breathing. We don't really think about it. Like your heart's pumping right now, blood's flowing, breath coming in and out of your lungs, and you're not really having a conscious thought about it because it resides in what's known as your unconscious competence. And you don't really think breathing's that big of a deal until it becomes hard for you. And then all of a sudden you're like, I'd pay anything to be able to breathe easy. So we forget that other people will pay you to learn how to do things to make it easier for them.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so so important to make sure that the other person feels comfortable. Like if picking up on signals, body language, right?
Yep.
That if they're on edge or they're stressed or they're a little like, what in the heck are you trying to sell me or whatever, is to put their mind, you don't have to come right out of the gate selling.
Oh, and you shouldn't.
Right.
If you don't have permission to sell to somebody, you shouldn't.
Right.
I truly believe that. Yeah. So I teach, everything I teach is built on the foundation of rapport. You should have rapport with everybody that you are going to put an offer in front of. And I think about rapport as their, I have a rapport bank account with every single person I come into contact with. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to make deposits, right? Like I want to build up a balance in that rapport account. Now, because I'm me and I make missteps and sometimes I say things wrong, I do things wrong, like I forget things. So sometimes I'm making withdrawals, unfortunately, out of rapport accounts. But if you have a balance built up and you make one withdrawal, people give grace and they're like, well, we still have a balance. It's fine, Nikki. Like, you're okay. Mm-hmm. But if you're starting a new account with somebody and you don't have a balance and you immediately take a withdrawal, the chance of you ever earning their business, slim to none. Like, think about it. If you go to a new restaurant that you've never been before and the food comes out and it's cold, you're probably not going to go back. But if you go to the same restaurant that you've gone to 20 times and you've always had an amazing meal, it's been amazing. The staff is amazing. Mm-hmm. You love everything about the ambiance. And you go and one time you have a bad meal, you're probably going to give them another shot.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So you have to have a balance. You have to have a rapport bank account. So the goal is to make deposits. And sometimes those deposits don't even involve selling. They don't involve like even asking for the business because we need to have some kind of rapport in place first.
Yeah. I think the key is too, is just being detached, like kind of going back to the not taking it personal.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like how a dog can sniff out things, right? The other party can sniff out, you know, like they can tell if you're desperate, like you really need that sale or you really need this job. Like they can sniff that out so easily. I mean, I know I can. Yeah. If I'm with someone and they're trying to sell me something, I can like really, and then I always get, going back to building the relationship, I always get annoyed if they're not going to try to build a relationship. Like, let me get to know you first. Like, why are you trying to sell me something?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think even like for an interview, if someone's going in for an interview, you have a short amount of time there to sell yourself. Mm-hmm. But you want to do it in a way that you're not really selling yourself.
In a way that feels conversational, in a way that feels genuine. Like, because if you're just treating somebody like, you know, if you want their sale or you want their job, you're kind of treating them like a wallet. And isn't it gross when people treat you like all you are is a walking around wallet and they're just trying to get into your wallet? Like that feels yucky. So we don't want that. So whether it's a job interview or whatever, you still think about, am I building rapport? Am I paying attention? Am I listening? Am I asking good questions? Because even in an interview, yes, you want the job, but there still should always be, I say this about sales, there should always be like a balance of power, right? Like if you give all the power to the other person, unfortunately, they'll abuse it. Like it's been proven, there's studies about it, you know? And if you try to hold all the power in the conversation or in the relationship, like they'll go find somebody else to provide whatever it is that you're going to provide. So there needs to be a balance. So if you're going into an interview and you're acting like, I'm just desperate, I'll say whatever you want me to say, I'll do whatever you want me to do, I just want the job, they're not going to be interested in you because you've just given them all the power.
Right.
right? So we want to be on like even playing field with people. And not that the power doesn't shift a little bit throughout the conversation, it will, but it needs to stay balanced. So you have to go in of this idea of like, yes, you're interviewing me and I'm interviewing you as well to see whether or not
right.
I care.
Right. Isn't that interesting though? Like we always think it's one way, but it's both.
Yeah, it's both.
Yeah. So how can people actually learn more about becoming better at sales? So I know you have your book, yeah. right? Well, you have three books.
I have three books and I have an ebook, which I would love to gift to your audience. I'll gift it to them for free if that's okay.
Oh gosh, yes.
Okay. So I have an ebook. It's called Closing the Sale. And it kind of talks through some of these steps and gives you some language suggestions. So if you are somebody who's like, I'd like to learn a little bit more, you can grab this. It's a fast, easy read. And yet there are like legitimate steps and things to be thinking about, mindset stuff, ways to, you know, issue that invitation in there. And you can get it by going to yoursalesmaven.com/midlife.
Nice. Oh, perfect. Good. Okay. And then the other two books that you have and courses, what else?
The three. So I have three. Yeah. So I have three other books besides
that. Oh, good golly. You've been busy.
I've been busy. So those books are all available on Amazon. Two of them are available on Audible if you're an Audible listener. Okay. And then of course I have my podcast too. So I share lots of tips and strategies and techniques on that. It's called Sales Maven. You can go listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts.
Nice. And then do you provide coaching or online courses?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I have a group coaching program. It's called the Sales Maven Society, where you get access to me and live calls, training sessions, actual access to my training courses. And then I also work with clients one-on-one. So I do private coaching as well.
Yeah. And I think you'll find that, I don't know, for me, and I might have shared this already, but with sales, I really did learn more about myself.
Oh yeah.
And just connecting with others. And even being on this podcast, I've learned to listen more and to be more present, which wouldn't we all love to be more present, but you have to be. And especially like when you're exchanging information, you're going back and forth with someone, it's kind of like volleying, right? Uh-huh. You do have to be totally present, mm-hmm. whether you're in an interview, you're having a conversation with your husband or your child or anyone, your neighbor, you have to be present. I mean, oh my God, so many times that you'll talk to someone, sometimes I'll tell my boyfriend this, I'll call him T.O. Talkover. That's like, but we all hate that because then you feel like, wait, I didn't get to finish and what I was saying was not important. Mm-hmm. So you really do through sales, whatever you're selling, you learn to communicate better. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
And the better you are at communication, the more influence you have in a conversation, the more you're willing to adjust your style to put the other person at ease and pay attention to the things that are important to them, the words that they choose, their body language, their facial expressions, their hand gestures, all these things play a factor. But if nothing else, like the bare minimum is to just learn how to listen properly.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. I hear you. I was listening so closely. I forgot what I was going to say.
I love it.
Thank you so much. This was good.
Thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the conversation. I appreciate this with you.
I'll have to remember all of this when I'm selling my book.
That's right.
Bye. Thank you so much. Everyone have a great day.
Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change, or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.